Well, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis chapter 13 today. Genesis chapter 13. And we've been going through the series under the furtherance of the gospel. And we're going to be talking about this here today. And it's amazing to me how a lot of these things are pulled together through these different aspects. And if someone would ask us, well, if you're going to preach through a series on under the furtherance of the gospel, what would you preach on? And many times we would say, well, we'd go through the all the passages of the Great Commission and through all of these things. But there's so much more to it than that. We are told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We are to go out and work unto the furtherance of the gospel. That is something we're to do. But there are some ways that we are to do that, tactfully speaking. If someone was in sales and they were to go up to a door and knock on the door, and maybe they're trying to sell something, a person could open the door and they could say, hi, I'm so-and-so and I'm selling these. Would you like to buy one? Well, that's not going to get you very far. But there's tactful ways in which they do that. When someone is trying to sell you something, oftentimes the question that they ask last is, would you like to buy one? What are they going to do first? They're going to tell you all about it, aren't they? This is why you need this thing. This is how this is going to make your life better. This is how it's going to make you feel happy every single day. Well, as we talk about the gospel as well, there's some things that we must understand. And what we're going to talk about today is this: let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. You know, if someone is going to give out the gospel the way that that we're called to give out the gospel, we cannot be people who are looking for strife. Now, strife is going to come. It's going to happen, it's going to try to creep its way into our life, but also through the lives of others towards us as well, because we're human beings. But we should not be looking for strife. How many here know someone, when you think of someone who looks for strife, someone comes to your mind? I know somebody that looks for strife, and all of us know that. We all know someone that's like that, but God forbid that would be said of any of us. God forbid that would be said of someone who claims to be a born-again believer. Someone that looks for strife shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be looking for those things. Genesis chapter 13, and starting in verse 1, we're going to read down through verse 13. The Bible says this: And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, and silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife, here comes a strife here, between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is it not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, we have no doubt heard messages or truth proclaimed on the way that Lot pitched his tent. He pitched it towards Sodom, and he was there in the cities of this place, a place where he should not have been. He should not have been willing to go into these places and set up his home there, but he was. But I don't want to focus on that this morning, though it's true, and though there's much truth that can be said about that, I want to understand what Abraham's mindset was this morning. Notice Abraham, there was strife between his herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. And no doubt that that was causing some strife between Abram and Lot because Abram takes the initiative and he goes to Lot and he says, "Let there be no strife between me and thee." He said, "I don't want any strife to be there." What was he doing? He was taking the initiative, wasn't he? He wasn't willing to say, well, me and my herdsmen, we know what's best. So if you have a problem with that, then you can just leave. That's not what he did. Now he said, "Let there be no strife there." Here's what he's saying, and it's something that each and every one of us need to get a hold of as well. When something just rubs us wrong and we have the temptation to lash back out at someone and that temptation to have that strife there, here's something we need to say. You ready for this? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It is not worth a ruined relationship just because of our pride. It's not worth it. Now, you may feel better about ourselves, won't we? Well, I'm going to feel better about myself if I just go and just tell them exactly what I think, and for a couple minutes you may. But as soon as you're done just telling them what you think, you're not going to feel better. Abram here said, "Let there be no strife between, I pray thee, between me and thee." God has given us as his children a work to do in this world. But strife is a hindrance to world evangelism. You know, someone that is a very spiteful person, a person that does not treat people the way they need to be treated. Can I tell you this? They're not going to have a great reputation in the community. They're not going to. There's not going to be people in the community that desire to come to a place, even a place that all of us would consider a great place in Grace Baptist Church. Amen. But if we are spiteful people, if we are always causing strife, why would people want to come here? Why would they want to do that? Now, there's going to be some people that are upset about the gospel being presented. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the way that we do it, how we go out. We are to speak the truth in love, and we are not to be looking for strife, but just giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understand here, a strife is a hindrance that robs us of God's power and God's blessing. It robs us of that. "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee." If we are honest with ourselves, this should be each and every one of our mottos individually. In our homes, in our place of business, this should be what we try to live by. The Bible tells us that Abraham, he was very rich and Lot was very rich. There was nothing wrong with that wealth. And it was, of course, honestly gained. God had given it to them. But understand this, to much is given, much is required. God allows us to invest what he has given us. But how are we doing that? Many times people allow wealth to bring strife in their life. The danger that we see here is between Abram, his herdsmen, and Lot's herdsmen. And Abram took the initiative and said something needs to happen. I want you to look over at the book of Acts, if you will. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. What we're going to find here in this verse is this. We're going to find that there was no strife there. Here in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says this: "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Now, when you see that they were all in one accord, you can see that there was no strife there. They were all of the same mind. They were not looking for what someone did to them. But there's an awful lot of believers today, an awful lot of people today, believers and unbelievers, who are so worried about what someone did to them that they refuse to allow the Lord to work in their lives. They won't just let things go, and they just keep that strife there between them and others. His attitude of being in one accord was a blessing from God on the first century church. They were not divided by strife, but rather they were on the same page. Over in the book of James, I want to read a passage here in the book of James chapter 3 and verse 14 through 16. The Bible says this, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." If there's strife there, understand this, there's going to be confusion. It doesn't matter how wise we think we are, how clear we may think that we are thinking at that time. If there is strife there, it doesn't matter what you try to do, there is going to be confusion. It's going to be there. And notice there, but in the book of Acts, they were on the same page. And we can be that way as well. You know, God declares that strife is earthly. He declares that strife is sensual. He declares that strife is devilish. If I was to ask you today, well, do you want anything devilish in your life? You'd say, no, I don't want anything like that. I don't want anything that's devilish or earthly or sensual in my life. I don't want those things. But yet we allow strife in our life, and that's exactly what strife is. If we are going to do what God's called us to do, and we are going to do that in the power of the Holy Spirit, understand this, we cannot allow strife to rule our lives. Evil means to break things apart and to render them worthless. That's what that means. Strife does just that. It tears lives apart. It tears families apart. But it can also tear a church apart. What once was blessed and mightily used of God can be rendered worthless because of strife and contention. There's an awful lot of churches that used to stand for truth. They used to be a beacon of light in their community, and all because some strife that broke out between one group and another group that started between one person and another person, that church is now either just gone off the deep end and is not even preaching the gospel anymore and has all these devilish, sensual things going on in the church, or the church has just been boarded up. Not even alive anymore. It's not even operating anymore. Well, how did that happen? You trace it back. There's going to be some strife somewhere that was not willing to be taken care of. It wasn't willing to be resolved between the parties. Lord, help us. There in James chapter 3, the Bible also speaks of ones who, quote, make peace. I want to be known as someone who makes peace, don't you? I don't want to be known as someone who makes strife, but the natural way is to make strife. In order to make peace, understand this, it has to be intentional. It has to be. Because if we're not intentional about making peace, we're going to make strife. It's going to happen. We need people that are going to make peace, ones who are full of mercy. We as believers, we are supposed to seek consolation. We're supposed to seek comfort and fellowship and mercy. And nothing is to be done through, the Bible says, strife or vain glory. You know that vain glory, that trying to make people look at you rather than looking at the Lord? You know what's going to happen there? There's going to be strife there. If we try to bring the glory to ourselves, I can guarantee you strife is going to be involved. It's going to happen. So notice, first of all here, notice the conflict between the herdsmen. The conflict between the herdsmen. In human relationships, conflicts, understand this, are going to happen. It's just going to happen. The conflict we see here in Genesis was because Abraham was blessed. Look at chapter 13 and verse 6 and 7. Notice what the Bible says here. And the land was not able to bear them, speaking of Lot and Abram's flocks, herds, and tents, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife. So why was there strife happening here? Because both of these men were blessed. You better believe that if someone is blessed, and trying to please the Lord and glorify the Lord through what the Lord has blessed them with, the devil is going to try to get his hand in that thing. He's going to try to look at Lot. Look at Job. I'll get his name right. It's still a three-letter name. Amen. Look at Job. He was blessed, wasn't he? He was blessed beyond measure. You think about he had his family the Lord had blessed him with. He had barns and flocks and herds and all of these different things. He had more than what we see these other men in the Bible have. And yet what happened? The devil wanted to get his hand in that. Because Job was a man who loved God. He glorified God with his life. The Bible says that Job was a man who eschewed evil. It means he ran from it. He didn't want any part of it. Well, he wasn't doing anything wrong. The devil wanted to get his hand in that. He wanted to cause some strife. Just because a person is being blessed doesn't mean there's not going to be a strife there, but quite the opposite of that. There's going to be. The devil's going to try to cause that conflict. But understand this. Abram here, he took the initiative. He could have ordered Lot around. Lot was his nephew. Abraham could have said that, without me, you would have nothing. But that's not what he did. He did the same exact thing that we see the Lord Jesus Christ doing. Abram took upon himself the form of a servant. You know what's going to happen? You take on the form of a servant. That's going to cause the strife and contention to leave, isn't it? Because what causes that strife? It's pride. That's what it is. When one person knows better than the other person. If me and Brother Sean, if we're arguing about something, what is that argument coming from? We're going back and forth and lashing back and forth at one another. Well, my idea is better than his, and his ideas are better than mine, and we're going back and forth, and that pride is there. But you know what's going to solve that argument? You know what's going to cause that strife to cease? When one party or both takes on the form of a servant. Because then there's nothing to fight about. Because it's a servant rather than a prideful lordship, if you will. Understand here, that's exactly what Abram did. He took on himself the form of a servant. Understand this, there is no greater privilege known to man than to be in a relationship and have fellowship with our Lord. No greater privilege known to man. But you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to cause strife in that relationship too. You know what he wants to do when something's not quite going our way? He wants to put those thoughts in our minds like this. Well, why would God do that to me? That's what the devil wants to do. There's an awful lot of people that are bitter at church today because, well, I just don't understand why God made me go through this. Well, maybe the Lord was trying to teach. Maybe the Lord was trying to humble. The Lord knows what's best for us. He knows those things. That wonderful relationship we can have with the Lord, the devil wants to cause strife there. In this passage here, we see the behavior of a godly man in the midst of conflict. And I want you to look at the end of verse 7 there. And I want you to notice exactly what was going on here. Look at the end of verse 7. So it talks about the strife there in verse 7. Then it says this, "And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land." Now, think about this for a moment. When you think about Abram, and everything that he had, and his herdsmen and all of that. He had a vast amount of goods and herds and all of this stuff, and he had these employees, these servants, if you will, that were there. And then on the other side, you have Lot and all of his things there, and they're trying to intermingle there on that land, and there's not enough room. So this strife is happening, is happening between the herdsmen there. And Abram says, "Look, Lot, I don't want any strife to be between us. So here's what you can do. You can choose. If you choose the left, I'm going to the right. If you choose the right, I'm going to the left." And Abram is trying to resolve this here. But understand this. You think the Perizzites there and the Canaanites, you think they knew who Abram and Lot were? I think they did. You think they knew that Abram was a man that followed the Lord? I think they did. You think they knew it? There was just something different about that Abram and Lot over there. There's something different about them. What would have happened if Abram and Lot would have allowed this strife to ruin their testimony? What would have happened there? You've got these ungodly groups here, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. No doubt they knew exactly what was going on. They knew who these men were. What if Abram would have said, "No, I'm in charge here. It doesn't matter to me if there's strife or not. I'm going to take what's rightfully mine." See, it would have had an impact on the nations there, wouldn't it? You know, the same thing happens in a community where a church is. If there's strife that gets within the church, you know who's going to know about that strife? The whole community will. Well, it's none of their business. Yeah, but people talk, don't they? And I can guarantee you this, that whatever the original strife is, by the time it gets out to everyone else, it's going to be a completely different strife. You ever play that telephone game? Have no idea what gets to the end. You start out saying that that so-and-so is married to so-and-so and they've got these kids, and you get to the very end and it's talking about this person works on this farm and they've got this many pigs, amen? They mix up the whole story. But the truth of the matter is this, if we as believers, if we allow our petty disagreements to cause strife between us, it's not going to only influence the parties involved, if you will. It's going to influence the families. It's going to influence the church. It's going to influence the community. And our influence around this world will not be what it should be simply because we allowed strife and contention to be there. We have got to be on guard about these things. The devil, he would like nothing more than to cause strife and contention. Understand this here. Spiritual people take on big things and reduce them to nothing. But carnal people take nothing and amplify them to big things. Think about it. Isn't it just a mindset? That's exactly what it is. Lord, help us to have the right mindset. Notice not only the strife between the herdmen, notice also the call of Abraham. The depth of God's call on your life, understand this, the depth of God's call on your life determines your commitment to resolving conflict. Here's what I mean by that. God has called each and every one of us to do something. The way that we follow that call is going to determine how we resolve conflict. Because it's whether or not we're following God or not. One way or the other. We can't have it both ways. When we are given greater things, it enables us to deal with the lesser things. Understand this. Abraham's call is what motivated him. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So notice there, Abraham, he heard what God wanted him to do, and God said, go, and he went. You see, if we are not following God right now, then when that strife comes, what makes us think we're going to make the right decisions then? You see, following God is not just something that we get up in the morning and say, well, I'm going to follow God today, and no matter what happens the rest of that day, we're following God. No, it's an every moment decision. Every single time our mouth opens, you know what we need to do? Ask the Lord to guide our lips. If you're anything like me, sometimes we say something and we're trying to grab those words before they reach somebody's ear, aren't we? Lord, help us. It's exactly what happened. We need the Lord's help in that. We think about Abraham. He was the one man that God told him through that all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. Think about the impact that he had. Think about that. Do you expect God to make you a worldwide blessing? Think about that. That's what Abraham was told here. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Wow. Now, this series here that we're teaching through is called Under the Furtherance of the Gospel. And The Lord has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He wants us to serve Him worldwide. That's what He wants us to do. Do you believe that every Christian can be a worldwide blessing? Well, what's going to stop that? Strife between brother and brother. Strife between sister and sister. A strife between church and church. Lord, help us. As we're going through this world, there's going to be people who want to engage us in things. And the world, the flesh, and the devil, they want us to devote energy and time to the things that are not the will of God. They want us to get sidetracked, but we must stay focused on what the Lord has given us to do. We read in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man who was going in to build these walls. And until the work started, there wasn't any strife that came. But guess what? As soon as that work started, as soon as those hammers started falling on those nails, as soon as those blocks started being placed into their place on that wall there, what happened? Strife came. Why? Because work was getting done. I can guarantee you this, that if a church is following the Lord, strife is going to come because work is getting done. I'm not saying strife's not going to come. I'm not saying that, as long as we make the right decisions, we'll never have to deal with strife. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying here this morning is we will deal with strife. It's going to happen. But how are we going to deal with it when it comes? We must have this prayer that Abram had, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee." Abram did not have all the answers, but here's what he knew. He followed the Lord who did. There's going to be times in which we don't have all the answers. We just don't know what to do. But the Lord has the answer. And the Lord help us to be discerning and loving enough to say that we're not going to stop working for Him. We're not going to allow this strife to come between us. And then notice lastly here this morning and quickly the choice that Lot made. Look at chapter 13 and verse 10, if you will. It says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord in the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." Understand this, that Lot made a decision here. That was not a good decision. He did not make the best of this circumstance. This decision that that Lot made here, what's going to happen is a man that makes this bad choice. We all know how the story ends and how this man loses his family. He lost his wife. He had children with his own daughters. Just terrible things that were going on there. We would have no idea that this man knew anything about the true God if it were not for the New Testament telling us that Lot was a just man. It literally calls him Just Lot. That's what it calls him. He was a saved man. Something else that we can take from this passage is this. Just because a person is saved does not mean they're going to deal with strife the way that it needs to be dealt with. And just because a decision comes our way as saved people does not mean we're going to make the right decisions either. It doesn't mean that. Here we have two men that were considered justified. And yet they made completely different decisions. Lot was making the wrong choice. You know, a Christian should learn from Lot here. A Christian should never transfer anywhere on a job, no matter how great the job appears, unless they know exactly where their family is going to worship. Shouldn't do that. Well, it's just going to pay so much. All Lot saw was the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah there, didn't he? He saw that, the cities of the plain. He saw everything that was there, and boy, it looked good. His family paid the price. Lord, help us. Lot was stolen away. Abraham went and retrieved him after he was taken captive. God gave Lot another opportunity, and God has given us many opportunities as well. But let me ask you this here this morning. When will that last opportunity come for us? What are we going to do with the opportunities we have? For each and every one of us, a good motto for our home would be this: "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between thee and me." No strife at all. Many homes that are ruled by raised voices all the time. Shouldn't be that way. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be ones who are striving for peace rather than striving for strife. Amen.